Our scripture lesson for this morning for Brother Marvin is taken from Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26 on the subject of temperance. While you're turning to that scripture, I just had to think, if you're looking for something to do, we just had a whole list of revivals and what an opportunity to visit and to worship together with other congregations. I can remember years ago, we used to do more of that. Used to spend a lot of time visiting in other denominations and revival meetings, and those opportunities are still here for us today to enjoy. If you turn your attention to the scripture lesson of this morning, Galatians chapter 5, we're going to begin reading at verse 16. Through verse 26. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we walk in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. With this scripture on our minds, let us come before the Lord in prayer.
Good morning. It is another beautiful morning this morning as the sun shone brightly. There are a few clouds, but what a beautiful morning. I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, the one that is faithful. And Eric, that last song you led this morning, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. He has been faithful this week. I pray that you would continue to pray this morning. I thank those that have texted me that they've been praying for me. As we look into the thought of temperance, it's something that I need to continue working on in my life. Self-control is basically temperance. We're going to look into this a little bit here. Sort of have 3 points this morning. What is temperance? How do we practice temperance? And what are the benefits of practicing temperance in our lives? I like to, as I study and think, to look up the definition of words, because sometimes we may think they mean one thing, and maybe they do, but we might get a more clear understanding of what that word really means if we know the true definition or the definitions of that word. And in the Webster Dictionary for temperance, moderation, particularly habitual moderation in regard to the indulgence of the natural appetites and passions. And I want to underline and highlight the word passions in that definition this morning. Continuing with the definition, restrained or moderate indulgence, as temperance in eating and drinking, temperance in the indulgence of joy or mirth. Temperance in eating and drinking is opposed to gluttony and drunkenness, and in other indulgences to excess. So many times when we think of temperance, we think of drinking and gluttony, drunkenness and gluttony. So I want to touch on them a little bit this morning, but I really want to highlight passions. If you look up the word drunkenness in Scripture, there's a number of verses that come up, and there's only one that I found that uses the word drunkenness that is not referring to intoxication. And I know it's been quite a while since we've heard a sermon on drinking and alcohol and the effects and all that. So I maybe am going to sort of gear this a little bit. The whole sermon is for everybody, but towards the young people. The effects of drunkenness. In Deuteronomy 29:19, and this is the only verse that I have listed here that is not talking about intoxication. Deuteronomy 29:19, and it came to pass when he heareth the words of this curse that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. The word drunkenness here basically meant to be saturated, to be full of, not to be intoxicated, not to be out of control. The rest of the verses that I want to point to this morning are talking about being out of control and some of the effects of being drunk. Exodus 10:17. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. They eat and drink for strength, but not to excess and become drunk and out of control. And we know there are many bad choices made while people are intoxicated, many bad things that happen. Also in Jeremiah 13:13, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests and the prophets and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. Jeremiah is sharing a prophecy of destruction. They're going to be filled with drunkenness. They're going to make bad choices. They're going to be in a bad place. Continuing there with Jeremiah 13, verse 14, and I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, saith the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. So because of their drunkenness, the Lord was going to put them against each other. They were going to cause them to fight. He was going to destroy them. He was not going to have mercy on them. Ezekiel 23:33, thou shalt be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, with the cup of astonishment and desolation, with the cup of thy sister Samaria. When we are given to drunkenness, there is much sorrow, much hurt, much heartache. In Luke 21:34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting or worrying and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. I'm sorry, the word surfeiting there does not mean worry. It means the act of feeding to excess or gluttony. That's where gluttony comes in. But drunkenness and cares of this life will come upon, the day of the Lord will come upon us, and we will be unaware. You know, in the day that we live, you can pretty much do what you want in most people's eyes, and it doesn't matter. That is not what these scriptures are telling us here. To be drunk and to be involved causes much hurt, damage, and destruction. Two more scriptures here on drunkenness. That's Romans 13:13 and Galatians 5:21. Romans 13:13, let us walk honestly in the day, not rioting in drunkenness, not in chamberings and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Let us walk honestly. Those that are involved in drunkenness are not honest people when they are drunk. They will tell you some of the craziest things. They will act in some of the craziest ways. They're not walking honestly. And then Galatians 5:21 is listed in the lesson this morning in the fulfillment of the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. Envyings, murders, and drunkenness, revelings, and such like of these which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past. Now listen to this. That they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. If we are drunkards, and any of the other lists there, and I realize it's not an exhaustive list of sins, but it covers many areas of our lives. If we are involved in any of those, but I want to highlight drunkenness this morning, we shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So do not take part. Temperance, self-control. There are some things we need to abstain from, completely abstain from. And one of them is drunkenness. And the other ones listed here, we need to abstain from them or we shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Gluttony, on the other hand, is something I think we all may struggle with. That is eating to success. There, this afternoon, might be a time for you to practice gluttony. We go home today for Sunday lunch, and in our house anyways, Sunday lunch is normally a little bit bigger meal than the rest of the week. We need to practice not partaking in gluttony today. And every day. But gluttony is overeating, and there are many health problems due to that. In Acts, there's not really any scriptures in that I know of that refer directly to gluttony. But what about being temperate, being in control, and using our judgment to know whether we've overeaten or not? And as I think of overeating, and you think of all the food that is thrown away in America today, is terrible. There's a number of guys that I know that haul the trash from the transfer station to the incinerator in York. And every day, truckload after truckload of food that is not expired is being dumped into that incinerator and burnt. Different reasons for that, which we're not going to go into. But the food that is thrown away in America today is terrible. There is not much temperance in that. Acts 24:25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. As he thought about the things that were going to come, and he was even maybe thinking about the self-control that was necessary. And he answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. How often do we say, well, later. Later I'll practice temperance, but right now I want to, whatever it may be. So I'm going to do this. We need to practice temperance today. Practice self-control and abstain from the things that are listed and the things that God has called us away from. Galatians 5:23, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And that is the last fruit of the Spirit that is listed here in Galatians 5 this morning, it's temperance. Does that mean it's any less valuable than any of the rest or any less necessary than any of the rest? I think not. Think about the rest of the fruits of the Spirit there. Verse 22, it starts, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Without temperance, how would the rest of those fruits of the Spirit work? If we don't have self-control, we're not going to love. If we don't have self-control, it's going to be hard for us to have true joy. If we don't have self-control, we're not going to be gentle. Goodness isn't going to be in us. Our faith is going to be weak, and we're not going to be meek. We need to have temperance for the rest of the fruits of the Spirit to be successful in our lives. Some more verses on being temperate and temperance. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. And to temperance patience. And to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we may have a lot of knowledge, but if we don't use self-control in how we use that knowledge, it can destroy and be damaging. And we're supposed to add to our knowledge temperance, to temperance patience. To our self-control, we need to have patience or long-suffering, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, which is love. One for another. So that is a little bit what temperance is. Temperance is self-control. So how do we practice temperance? Practicing temperance isn't easy. 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 25. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So everybody here this morning is running a race. What kind of race are you running? Are we running a race to obtain a crown that is corruptible? Or are we running a race for a crown that is incorruptible? You know, those that go to school to gain a mastery in whatever topic you want to say, they use a lot of temperance. They're temperate. They study a lot. They may deny themselves of freedom to do other things. Paul is telling the Corinthians here what we need to put ourselves through to obtain a crown that is uncorruptible. What physical things have you put yourself through to gain a crown here that is going to fade away? I can think of different things. As I was thinking about this and come across an interesting article, and I'm not going to mention very few details because they may vary depending on what you read. The sentinels. Who here knows what a sentinel is? It is the soldier that guards the tomb of the unknown soldier. And it is incredible for the honor to guard that tomb, what he will put himself through. I do know it is a 2-year commitment, but the grueling things that he does to have that honor, there's only a few men that are able to or willing to put themselves through all the things, hours and hours of preparing. If I understand correctly, they put themselves through 5 hours of preparation for a 1 hour duty. Inspection before they go out, pressing their uniforms, making sure and measuring between buttons and making sure everything is exactly perfect. And they put themselves through that for an honor to guard the tomb of the unknown soldier. And as I think about that, I think, what am I willing, what are you willing to do to honor the living God, the Almighty, the Powerful, the One that is faithful to us and will never turn His back on us? What am I willing to put myself through? In Isaiah 52, verse 14, talks about Jesus' image when He was there on the cross. Isaiah 52, verse 14. As many were astonished at thee, His visage, or His image, was so marred more than any man, and His form more than any sons of men. What did He put Himself through for you and I? What am I willing to put myself through for Him? It's a challenge for each of us. In verses 16 and verse 25 of Galatians 5, we see that we must live in the Spirit. And in verse 25, it says we also must walk in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I believe, in other words, it is giving us control of our lives. It is giving the control of our lives over to the Holy Spirit. And as I studied and thought about this, my mind kept going to Romans chapter 6, a very familiar portion of Scripture. But I wanted to turn to Romans 6, verses 1 to 14. I'm going to read that. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Am I, are you dead to sin? You know, in January, there was quite a number of people that we know that were closely maybe associated with this congregation in one way or another that passed away. They are dead. The things of this world no longer affects them. If we are dead to sin, sin is not going to affect us. The allures of sin are not going to be there. They're not going to be enticing to us. But as you think about being dead, think about those that lay out here in the cemetery. It doesn't matter if it's a beautiful sunny morning, heavy rain, snowstorm, it don't make any difference. And as we go through life, if our focus is on Jesus Christ, and we are dead to sin, it isn't going to matter what's going on around us. We're going to be following and holding faithful to God, to His commands. Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Our old man, we need to crucify him. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7 here, for he that is dead is freed from sin. If you go back to Galatians 18, Yeah, verse 18, Galatians 5, verse 18 is a verse that is very similar in meaning to Romans 6, verse 7, and that is, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. I believe that if we are walking and living in the Spirit, the law, the commands of Christ will not be burdensome to us. We will want to live above them. We will not be held under them. In Romans 6, 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. The commandments, we won't need them because we will want to live and keep them. They won't be as burdensome to us. Romans 8, verse 2 is also another verse here that I believe is similar. Romans 8, 2, and by the way, for the school children, I come across this because it is a memory verse for this month. But it jumped out at me, Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. So if we are living in Christ, if our life is in Christ, Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law, the commandments that are death, we are above them. We have a desire to live above them. Not that we're better, but we have a desire to follow the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, and to be above them. Romans 6, verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That is hope. That gives us something to look forward to. There is hope for us because we can live with Christ. Here in this sinful world, we can still live with Christ. We don't have to be part of the system. We don't have to be entangled in the world system. But we need to die to ourselves daily, to our old nature. We need to die daily. And that requires a lot of self-control, not indulging in the things that our old nature would desire. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. If we are risen with Christ, sin will not have dominion over us. We are going to still have to deal with our sinful nature. We're going to have to deal with the temptations that Satan sends our way. But it's not going to have dominion over us. Death did not have dominion over Christ. He rose from the dead. And we, I believe, can rise above sin. We can be overcomers. To do that, we need to give our whole heart to God. We need to give it all, not hold on to just a little bit. I'm hesitant in a way to share this because it's an experience that I had, and I in no one way want to lift myself up. Because it was only through the power of the Holy Spirit and God working in my life that the outcome is what it is. But when it was announced that we were going to call two ministers here, I struggled with even letting my name be used because I didn't want it. And I struggled for days. I talked to a number of you, and you know who you are, and I was not necessarily discouraged from doing that, if that's what I felt I needed to do or what God wanted me to do. But then I talked to another individual that's here this morning, and he told me, Marvin, If God doesn't want you, your name won't even come up. That's not what I wanted to hear. I was really struggling. It was a battle. I can take you to the place where I surrendered my heart completely over to God. And I told him, whatever you want, Lord. I don't understand, but if that's what you want, that's what I'll do. And you've called me here. It's not always easy. But when I surrendered, my whole heart to God, that instance I had peace in my heart about that decision. And until we surrender our whole heart to God, there is a struggle. There is a struggle between what I want and what God wants. There still may be battles that I have to crucify my own desires. But the battle of standing here this morning is not mine. Brother Duane, in the Sunday school lesson this morning, you said some things that encouraged me to stand here this morning. It is not me, it is the Holy Spirit that has called me to be here and to share with you this morning. So for whatever that's worth to you, I encourage you to surrender your whole heart to God. He will not let you down. He will be faithful. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We cannot be truly alive unto God if we have not surrendered our whole heart to him. If we're hanging on to a little bit of our own heart, a little piece of it, we are not truly living unto God, because we're living unto ourselves a little bit. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Larry preached a number of weeks ago about holy living. And I believe that because of when we accepted Christ into our lives, the Holy Spirit came in. Because of his holiness, we can live a life of holiness unto him. It's not of ourselves. It is because we are walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit. So what are some of the benefits of practicing temperance in our lives? First of all, we can't know all the benefits. We cannot know all the benefits of practicing temperance, self-control, surrendering our hearts, walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit. We don't know all the benefits, but one of them is we will not be a drunkard. We will not bring hurt to those around us or to someone on the highway because we're a drunkard. We will not experience those sorrows. We will not experience, we probably all know of someone that experienced physical liver failure because of being a drunkard. We will not necessarily experience that. Another one, we will not be a glutton. There, and I mentioned already that there's many health complications because of overeating. Thirdly, An incorruptible crown is something we can look forward to. We will not work all of our lives for a crown that's going to fade away. And again, I like to bring to mind those soldiers that guard the tomb of the unknown soldier. The hours and hours that they put into that. Do I spend that much time putting and studying and preparing, spending that time with God, reading His Word? Fourthly, a benefit is a life of freedom. We can have a life of freedom if we practice self-control. And if we practice self-control and allow God in our lives, we can experience a life of holiness as well. And I believe another thing is a strong family and good relationships. Those are a few of the benefits of practicing temperance in our lives. And as we've looked at this morning, I hope you find it challenging. Has been much of a challenge to me. Has caused me to look deep into my own life. And I have room to grow. So a challenge, and it's my desire that we each walk closer to God, that we surrender our whole heart to Him, that His commands are not hard for us to do, that they are something we want to do, and that it will produce fruit in our spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit include temperance. Thank you.
Let's stand for closing prayer.